Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The cold fire continues to burn in the Black Hills. We're joined today by Holly Legg. She is a public information officer trainee for cold fire information, and she joins us now from Custer. Holly Legg, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
I want to start with the name cold fire. How is the fire named, and why did we pick cold fire? Why are we calling it that?
Cold fire is actually the area. Normally when a crew comes up on a fire, has been called to an area, they look at a map, decide what a close, significant object would be, whether it be a mountain or just an area. Cold Spring School is right there, and so it is now called the Cold Fire.
Thank you for that. How is this fire behaving? Is it staying on the ground? Is it crowning up into the treetops? What are you seeing?
So far, I have not been out on the lines that much. What I have been out there, the crews have been working really hard, strengthening the containment lines around the area. You know, our winds keep shifting. That keeps posing different issues. Each day we've had a different wind shift. But the crews are doing well, ensuring, you know, the perimeter is taken care of and whatnot. So,
how much concern is there about that wind today? I understand there's a wind advisory where you're at.
This is critical fire weather for us. This isn't a typical April day for us at all. Predicted wind speeds of 35 to 40 miles per hour with gusts up to 50. That poses a huge hazard for our firefighters out on the ground. It's definitely an issue. So last night we had a great break with the relative humidity creeping up. The crews did a great job last night. We had a aerial ignition last night that really worked well. And so we're just hoping to keep everything buttoned up. Strengthening those containment lines is our main goal today, and holding on to everything tight while this wind comes through.
At this point, no injuries for firefighters, is that correct?
No, ma'am. We are pretty proud of that safety standard that we've set so far. So
now, you said it's sort of an atypical April fire. What are the challenges for getting the resources that you need due to the fact that it's spring and a lot of things haven't been mobilized yet? Any concerns there?
Exactly. Luckily, we've been pretty well taken care of. You know, crews have been ordered. We actually have had two more crews show up this morning, one from Oregon, one from Montana, I believe. They're coming in from all over, and a lot of our seasonal hires are not on yet around the area for sure. So we're pulling resources from across the country, and they're doing a great job getting out here as quickly as possible for us.
So what's your biggest concern about this fire at this point? Is it the weather or is it the resources?
So far, I would say the weather is posing the biggest challenge, and you know, that's any normal fire. Weather is always an issue, and we'll just continue to hold tight and button up our corners and our edges. And yeah, as far as resources go, we're sitting okay right now, as far as I know. I have not heard of anything otherwise. So
let's just give a general update of how many acres we're talking about and the general conditions of the fire for as far as people accessing the area as well. Start with how many acres are burning?
Sure. We have 1,900 acres burnt. We have burnt edge all around the fire with 30% containment at this time.
Put that in perspective for me, 30% containment. Is that a positive thing? Is that a negative thing? How do I interpret that data to say 30%? What does that mean to me if I have no experience with this?
30%, you know, the incident commander is the one that gauges those totals, you know, through our planning sections and our different divisions. They have come up with those totals. I myself cannot answer that for you,
okay.
And I apologize.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
How about property? And I think we heard early on there was a house and some other buildings were threatened, but that did not occur. That property was able to be saved. How close did the fire get, and what did it take to sort of save those buildings?
Sure. Well, out of the 1,900 acres, we've had 328 acres burning on private land. Those private landowners were notified immediately, worked great with resources, and it definitely came close, but we had resources there, and we continue to have resources on scene at any structure within the area.
So talk a little bit about how those decisions are made as far as diverting resources to protect private property versus containing the overall fire. How do you make those choices?
That is up to the divisions. That's command staff in general. They would take care of most of those big decisions. You know, if we're looking at a wind shift, they would take into consideration that wind shift much in advance as best as we can and get an engine on a structure nearby that we think, you know, it could be threatened in some way.
Do you want to say anything about FireWise precautions and those structures and what sort of things landowners and property owners do to sort of help when an incident like this threatens their private property?
Absolutely. There are a lot of things that landowners can do, starting with just the area directly around your property, you know, tree spacing. If you have real tall grass around your home, make sure to keep that short, right all the way up to, you know, what the kinds of trees. Some trees handle fire a little better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those would be more of the hardwoods. Our softwoods, they tend to pick up fire a little quicker. So if you have, say, a spruce tree in your front yard, trim up those branches. Do what you can to make your home more defensible against fire.
And that helps firefighters as well do their jobs, I'm taking it. So,
absolutely.
How often are we checking up with this? How often can we expect to see changes? And real quickly, can you get access to the area as well if you're traveling there?
We do have portions closed in the area. You can find all of that information as far as closures and whatnot on the website, and we would love to have this website out there. The website is updated after morning briefing and after evening briefing as soon as possible. So within an hour after briefing, we get the release going and get the most updated information on there. And I can give you that that URL if
go right
ready.
Ahead. Yep.
It is GP, as in Great Plains, fireinfo.blogspot.com. And like I said, we keep that as up-to-date as possible, and that's where it's the best place to find the information.
If you're just joining us, you've been listening to Holly Legg with Cold Fire Information. For continued updates on the Black Hills Cold Fire, we'll put a link on our website, sdpb.org/DakotaMidday, to the website Holly just mentioned. Holly, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great day.